Hello and welcome to Crossroads, a podcast from the National's review section. At the UAE Pavilion at this year's Venice Biennale, you will not find soaring skyscrapers, mega projects, or artificial islands. Instead, it will focus on low-cost or shabby housing that was built in the UAE from the 1960s onwards to transform the lives of Emiratis. To discuss this, we're joined by feature writer at the National, Nick Leach. Nick Leach, before we talk about the Emirati National House, can you first tell us what kind of buildings people lived in here during the 30s, 40s and 50s?
Well, up until that time, up until the development of modern buildings as we understand them now, the vast majority of buildings in Abu Dhabi, at least, consisted mostly of arish. That's an Arabic word to describe palm frond. And those were the kind of buildings that you would now see in heritage villages and things like the Kasr al-Hosn Festival. And then very few buildings, rich merchants' houses or even Kasr al-Hosn, which still stands obviously in Abu Dhabi, were built from coral, sea stone and mortars made of sand.
Okay, so very few houses made of concrete, mainly made of palm fronds.
I mean, if you look at the even the earliest photographs that we have, the earliest aerial photographs we have of Abu Dhabi, you can see Kasr al-Hosn, the original Al Utaybah Mosque, and then very few other buildings that were actually built of permanent building materials. So the vast majority of the rest of the structures were built from palm fronds.
Okay, so in the 60s then, Sheikh Zayed started a national housing program, okay, and this is called, the individual houses were called shabby houses. What exactly is a shabby house?
So what became known as shabby housing was a program that was initiated by Sheikh Zayed very soon after he rose to power in 1966. And he clearly recognized from a very early time that it was necessary to not only build Abu Dhabi's population, but also to bring people into Abu Dhabi from other parts of the Emirates and to make them citizens. There was a shortage of people. And so one of the key ways that he set about increasing the population, but also building a sense of citizenship amongst the people who had formerly been semi-nomadic, was to actually give them houses. And those houses that were provided initially to people who were either of low income or who didn't own their own home or any land eventually became known as shabby housing. And shabby is a word that is quite difficult to translate into English, but it has associations of folk or community. But the program itself came to be known as the National Housing Program.
Compared to the Arish houses, what did a shabby house look like? I mean, how many rooms did it have? That sort of thing.
So the early models for housing started to emerge in the early to mid 60s, and they had two rooms, a date store, a surrounding wall to provide a measure of privacy, a kitchen, a separate bathroom. And they also provided access up onto the roof. So there was a basic model that was actually kind of provided that was meant to give families the basic building blocks that they would need to be able to live in a modern house. And obviously, those houses also were given kind of modern services, kind of plumbing and things like this. But they were made of concrete, so they were not entirely suited to local climatic conditions.
How many of these houses were built? Do we know?
It's difficult to say because Abu Dhabi had its own national housing program. Dubai had its own national housing program. And then after the formation of the UAE in 1971, the federal authorities were responsible for the development of national housing program in the other Emirates. In 1978, almost all of the shabby houses that had been built on Abu Dhabi Island were demolished, and the people who lived in those were given new and in kind of improved shabby houses in communities like Al-Shahama, Bani Yas, on the mainland. And lots of those houses still exist. But the best estimates that we have is that it was estimated that almost 14,000 shabby houses were built between the 60s and the 90s in Abu Dhabi Emirate. there aren't very clear figures for the rest of the UAE, but we do know that Shabi housing exists still all the way from Madinat Zayed in Western Region up to Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah. There are still surviving examples, but most of the Shabi housing that exists today can be seen in Al Ain.
Okay, so the Shabi housing that does exist today, who lives there? Is it Emiratis or someone else?
Well, the interesting thing about the National Pavilion in Venice is that it's chosen to focus on houses where Emirati families still live in those original Shabi houses. So these are houses that these families have lived in for generations. But it's unclear to what extent Shabi housing now has aged badly and in many cases has been kind of either stands semi-derelict or forms housing for people of low incomes who aren't Emiratis, but there still are a few examples where the Emirati families live in those homes, and that's what's been highlighted by the UAE National Pavilion at this year's Venice International Architecture Biennale.
Yeah. We'll come back to Venice in a minute, but do we know how these houses were received by the first Emiratis who moved into them in the 60s? Were they happy with them? Were they unhappy? Did they like them?
There's a trajectory of changing response to the Shabi houses. So the records that we have early on are from newspaper reports in newspapers like Al Ittihad. And that talks very much about families receiving these modern homes. So you're talking about people who had been living in tents or had been living in Arish structures, and they have the opportunity to move into these new homes. But as time goes on and the newspaper reports change, then you do get reports of families saying that the houses don't entirely respond to their needs. And that's actually one of the interesting things about the Shabi houses, because what you then have is that you have this situation where the original houses, which are basically just a framework, are then modified by their owners. And the modification that takes place not only allows the housing to cater for families as the size of the family increases and as their needs change, but also means that people actually start to, through their own efforts, turn these houses, most of which were designed by Western architects according to Western models of housing, into something that's actually much more closely reflects Emirati society, cultural values and norms.
Interesting. Just a final question on the UAE Pavilion at the Venice Biennale. It's a very different approach to UAE history, isn't it? Curator is Yasser Ashishtawi. What's his thinking here?
I think very much there's two things that are going on here. Yasser Ashishtawi has been here since, I think, 1997, and he's always written very thoughtfully about urbanism, not just in the UAE, but in the wider Gulf. But he's always taken a very much of a bottom-up approach to understanding urban life, architecture, and cities here. And the Shabi housing is a perfect example of that. It's an example of a form of social housing. It's not speculative. It's not iconic. It doesn't rely on big name architects. So it's the antithesis of the kind of architecture that people are used to reading about or seeing in connection with the UAE. It also speaks almost directly to the ideas of the curator of this year's Venice Biennale, a guy called Alejandra Aravena, a Chilean architect, who himself became famous for designing houses for the poor in his native Chile, which were called half a good house. So he built houses that were only semi-completed, but which gave the residents of those houses the opportunity to extend and to modify those houses as and when they needed to. And there are striking similarities between the UAE's history of Shabi housing and Aravena's own practice in Chile and throughout South America. So in choosing this subject, not only is Yasser Ashishtawi trying to move beyond the cliches or the stereotypes that tend to exist about architecture and urbanism in the Gulf, but he's also saying that here we have a homegrown example from the UAE that is actually has wider relevance beyond the UAE and can teach architects, planners, urbanists, lessons that are of contemporary relevance rather than just being a historical case study.
Interesting, very interesting. Nick Leach, thank you for joining us. To read Nick's article, visit thenational.ie, and thank you for listening.